You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
With Rod Oram this morning. Kia ora, Rod. How are you today?
Atamari, very well, thank you, Rachel.
It's nice to have you on the show. We've been talking for the last couple of months about, you know, a lot of things in this kind of election year to do with policies that we've seen parties releasing and also things that we've seen them kind of indicating they're interested in. And I really wanted to get your thoughts about what we're starting to see emerge as themes from the major political parties. What do you think is going to define the election that we're heading into later this year?
I wish I knew, because it's very complicated. With the two main parties, National and Labour, on very, very similar support and very static support. And so the role of the minor parties is potentially going to be really important in terms of being able to form coalition governments. And so there's this real this should be a competition for policy, with the minor parties putting some really interesting things on the table in the hope of building up some support, but voters then being unsure as to whether, if they put their vote that way to a minor party, whether it then gets lost in the great wash-up as coalitions are formed. So this is why it's so fluid. But a very good example of bold policy was the Greens a few weeks back on tax and a very big adjustment in support for people. I haven't spotted anything equally as interesting from the other small parties yet. But what we have seen from, say, National is a sort of a crime and punishment policy that very much mirrors ACT, so that they're trying to stop losing voters out to ACT. And so that's where it's really, really complicated. However, there is an overarching point here that I am pretty sure about is I don't think we're actually, for all of that potential for minor parties, I don't think we're going to come up with good policies. I actually don't think we're going to see much at all. I think that the election's going to be fought on very important matters of today, like inflation, like the cost of living, rather than anything much more aspirational about what we're trying to achieve longer term, whether it be climate, whether it be a big changes in education, you name it. I don't think those policies are going to be on the table at all. So in that sense, I think it could end up being a very dull election from a policy point of view, but of course everybody will get terribly excited with every poll just to see how the parties are tracking.
What in your opinion has, I mean, you've mentioned the Greens, but has anything stood out from the major parties as interesting policy or policy that you think is really indicating perhaps where Labour or National is wanting to put some attention heading into the election? Because it has, I agree with you, it has been not a lot of very obvious direction about where people want to put that focus.
That cost of living question and inflation is very much the dominant theme. And it's not just about how money is spent or how various costs could be eased, but it's the classic old thing about how governments spend money and what they borrow. And that argument, that debate is still stuck about 20 years back in the understanding of economics and where and how those very important factors play out. So, for example, that's why Grant Robertson has turned into an incredibly conservative finance minister and driving really, really eye-wateringly low levels of debt when the country is crying out for in infrastructure investment and the like, which are long-term investments, which should logically be funded by debt, and then they become intergenerational to pay for those big investments. So we've got an intensely conservative finance minister in Labour, and we've got an equally conservative person but far less experienced with Nicola Willis in National. And I think that they're playing really crucial roles in sort of calibration and selection of policy.
It's going to be fascinating to see what else comes out in the coming months. But let's talk a wee bit about the Resource Management Act. This is something that's been, I guess, tabled for reform for a long time, and it's taken a long process to work over that. What's the process at the moment? What are we seeing in that space, Rod?
And to recap very, very briefly, of course, we've had waves of attempted reforms which haven't really worked very well. But in 2016, two business organisations, the Property Council and Employers and Manufacturers Association, came together with the Environmental Defence Society for a very big study about what those reforms should look like. A very excellent programme, very detailed, and that's very much informed the process that's then followed through. Labour in government has worked very hard on a very fundamental reform. These aren't tweaks. So ultimately, the three bills, but two, there's a national and built environment bill, and then a spatial bill, a spatial planning bill, going through Parliament. Last week, they just came out of the select committee with some very good changes. But there is still a lot of unhappiness from all the other parties, and it was Labour's majority on the committee that got that bill out of the select committee. So David Parker, Environment Minister, is determined to get those two bills through Parliament before the election. But National last week said that if those bills were passed, it would repeal them and essentially start the process all over again, which is completely crazy because an amazing amount of good work has been done. Mm. The logical thing to do is to, when you have a big reform like this, let it go through, and then there might be some amendment bills if you are the new government. Indeed, if Labour came back, they would need to do some amendments pretty quickly afterwards because it's so complicated to sort out. That was an extraordinarily ignorant view by National about what's been going on and the huge effort in this reform process. This is a much better set of environmental legislation. It's far from perfect, but it does make it more plausible that we're going to be able to better safeguard the environment whilst at the same time enabling more economic development and growth. And you could say that was just plain politics on the part of National, and if they form the next government, they wouldn't follow through on that. But it's sending a signal that they're not really properly plugged into the policy debates that have been going on.
I wondered what you think, just briefly, I know they're quite broad, but what you think some of those reforms that, if Labour does get back in, they should be looking at to just tweak this as a policy?
The most important one is to make sure that the environmental, there's actually two sides of it, to make sure that the reforms of the planning process, which is a very big one towards spatial planning and much larger scale plans rather than some absurd number, it's 100 and plus plans of various kinds around the country, to make sure that process, the planning process, is refined and improved so it works well. But crucially on the environmental side, to make sure there are very serious environmental bottom lines that we have to meet. None of this mitigation of environmental effects, which became the really botched way that the RMA was working.
Well, it's shaping up to be a very interesting year, as it always is when it comes around to election season. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Rod. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks. Take care.
Yes, thank you. See ya. Bye.
See ya.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.